God's people long ago left this word for us today. So listen now for a word from our God. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Make us mindful today, O God, of the things that we will not always have with us. Amen. This particular scripture story is the basis for that hymn we sang this morning. Maybe you caught those themes in that kind of challenging melody. We wanted to try to sing that because it fits so well with the scripture, even though that's not a song we're familiar with. And also today we've picked music that comes from Irish or Scottish musical tradition. So we're singing a lot of traditional Irish tunes. And that music, as hard as it is to sing, is also one of those pieces. Remembering that the St. Patrick's Day tradition started, of course, as a Christian tradition. Though there are a lot of different things associated with St. Patrick's Day, he was St. Patrick, and Patrick's life is remembered because of the way in which he shared his faith. And also the associations of the pride and spirit and beauty of the Irish people and that Celtic or Irish tradition. So it seems fitting today, as we think about St. Patrick's Day and also think about this particular scripture passage, to think about the ways that God's presence blesses us through our senses and through pleasure and beauty in the world, even sensuous pleasure and beauty. Now, oftentimes, when we talk about this particular passage of Scripture, people will stumble over this part at the end where Jesus says, "You'll have the poor with you always." And sometimes people use that as an excuse for saying, "Well, we don't need to take care of the poor because we're always going to have the poor with us." And of course, that would be the farthest thing in the world from Jesus' intention in the statement that he made here. But we also come here in the United States from a Puritan tradition, the Puritan roots of the people of faith that founded this country, some of whom believed that you should never do anything extravagant or luxurious or associated with pleasure. That ascetic tradition that was, of course, present in lots of different cultures and religions and in all kinds of different places and times in Christian history, but also was very strong in the Puritan tradition, that you didn't wear clothes with any colors, you didn't have any extravagant luxuries, you lived very simply, and everything should just be very utilitarian. It should have the function, it should do the job, but you just would eat the most simple, plain food, wear the most simple, plain clothes. You certainly wouldn't spend money on perfume or fragrances or fresh-cut flowers or some extravagant like that thing like that. Everything should be very simple and functional. And that kind of tradition has had an interesting influence on people of faith. So in some churches and some sanctuaries, everything is very stark and simple and utilitarian. Whereas in others, things are lavish and ornate, and there's gold and all kinds of paintings and all kinds of velvet. So there's a whole extreme of things being very, very lush and opulent and rich in some churches, and in others, everything being very simple and practical. And sometimes people of faith have criticized each other for doing things in different ways. Just like the disciples criticized this woman who uses this ointment or perfume to anoint Jesus' feet. You see, in this particular version of the story, in John's gospel, it's Judas who criticizes the woman. But if you go back and read this same event of this woman anointing Jesus, the same story occurs in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. And in two of the gospels, all of the disciples criticize her, not just Judas. So the story has slightly different variations. In this particular version, we have Judas criticizing the woman, but that's not the only way that the story was remembered. So when we think about that criticism that we might make of each other or of other people of faith, oh, they shouldn't spend all that money on building a cathedral. Chartres Cathedral has been criticized. How much money, how many years was spent on that? Or we could use lots of other examples. We may have an echo of some of the same kind of concerns that are expressed here in this text. But I'm convinced that this passage of Scripture is not intended to teach us how much of our money we should spend on the poor or whether it's ever acceptable to spend money on anything except the merely functional or utilitarian. We don't know what would have happened if this woman had gone to Jesus before she bought the ointment. If she had gone to him and said, gosh, I've got this money, I'm thinking about buying a gift to honor you, or I could use the money for the poor, what do you think I should do? It's not that kind of story. She's already bought the gift. So what's going on really is an opportunity or an opening to criticize her for what she's done or kind of to give her a break. And what Jesus does is what he often does in the Gospel of John when someone is criticizing or judging another person. He sort of seems to say, give her a break. The money's already spent. She's already given the gift. But there may be more going on here as well. There may be a recognition that sometimes in this life where we're all dying, we're all marching toward the inevitability of loss of loved ones and our own death, that there's a beauty and a value and a blessing God wants us to have in sensuous pleasure sometimes. That really is part of the teaching of Celtic spirituality that's being reclaimed and remembered now. There's a whole movement of people saying, gosh, those Celtic theologians had a lot going for them when they reminded us that we can experience God in nature and in the beauty of nature. I have a very vivid memory of being with a friend who was dying some years ago, Mark Houston, who was a playwright, and some of you may be familiar with some of his plays. But when he was dying, he was very sad and cynical about many, many things in society and in our world, very discouraged. and not a person of faith in any traditional sense. And I can remember going to visit him once in his room, and someone had given him an orchid. So it was this little green slip of just a few leaves, but this absolutely magnificent flower. And somebody might have said, gosh, what a waste of money to spend money on that kind of flower like that. That money could have been used for something else. But I remember Mark saying that he really couldn't find anything to really hold on to or believe in. And then he would stop and he'd say, but there's this flower. And he would just gaze and look at the sun shining on that flower, that magnificent, mysterious creation of beauty, more beautiful than anybody could sculpt or craft or make. And he was so lost in wonder and awe at the beauty of that flower that he could connect with the divine, with the mystery, with the beauty in life. I think about times in my own life when I've been at the very, very lowest. Times when I think, you know, I thought I absolutely could not keep going or find anything to hold on to. And the way just a simple act of kindness, a cup of refreshing cold water, or an embrace from a friend, or the gift of a flower, gave me something to hold on to latch on to. So I don't know exactly what it meant to Jesus, this act of kindness and love and honoring, this anointing, when he surely knew that he was on that path toward crucifixion, on that path toward his death. For all of us, when we think about what we need to be new in our lives, spring brings good news, the reminder that after the longest winter, after the darkest, longest night of the year, there is the return of spring and the return of sun, and the ways in which hope rises, just like the green blades rise up back from the cold, still earth. St. Patrick's Day, then, is a time of remembering all kinds of greenness. The green, sometimes we say if a person's really green, we mean they're young, they're inexperienced, they're new. Also, we might mean they're tender, they're prone to make mistakes. St. Patrick's Day is a reminder about the many, many ways in which there are blessings and beauty in springtime. But St. Patrick's story, the man Patrick, who we honor on St. Patrick's Day, his story was a hard story. He was born in 387. Now, that was a long time ago. He was born maybe in Scotland or one of the British Isles, but he was captured and taken as a slave to Ireland when he was a teenager, maybe around 14 or 16. Can you imagine being kidnapped and taken as a slave? And he worked there as a slave for a number of years before he escaped and went back home and became a Christian and went into the ministry, partly out of that experience of being a slave. And then years later, he was sent back to Ireland to spread Christianity. And he didn't have an easy time. He was often chased out of town. People threw stones at him. He had a really hard time. But he did win many, many followers sharing good news and blessing about the Christian way of life. And so we remember St. Patrick for lots of reasons. But mostly I think of him as a person whose faith was renewed through hard times and who shared that hope and renewal in Ireland a country that certainly is known for having many, many hard times, as well as times of renewal. So today, as you see the green, as you go around town and are reminded of St. Patrick, think about the many opportunities we have in our lives to do something new, especially when we're invited to criticize other people of faith, other people in our own community, other people in our own circles. And remember this story in which Jesus just kind of said, give her a break, when other members of the inner circle were criticizing this woman who anointed him in such an act of love. And think, too, about the newness, the greenness, the youngness of our faith community here. How a tender new shoot that's rising up needs nurture and care and protection to grow. And so let us be gentle with one another and with ourselves in this season of our lives. Will you join with me in a moment of silence?